Thank you, David. I'm going to take a vote. Those of you out there who think David has lost enough weight, please raise your hands. No, I know that he's been working hard, and he looks great. I have a few words, a few comments, a few thoughts, and a few scriptures. My hope is that it's going to be uplifting. I got out the wrong sermon. It's been on my heart. It's been on my heart for a long time. I'm going to use familiar scriptures you all are very familiar with. We have used and you've heard hundreds of times. I hope to bring maybe some new thoughts, or maybe open your mind, or you would think on things a little, I'm not saying differently, maybe a little more fully. And my opening scripture is 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. And most of you know what this is about. And I'm going to start with the 19th verse. This is some 550 years before Christ. And yet we are hearing the doctrine of Christ, and which is comforting, very comforting to me. 19th verse. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I heard a sermon by a brother, actually Brother Case, and he was comparing that term endured and exchanging abide with it. And as I went through, because after he preached that sermon, I went through the Bible, and abiding is mentioned many more times in the Bible than it is in the Book of Mormon, and vice versa. And so as I compared, most of the time they interchange quite well. So if you would, if you want to, even if you don't want to, I'm going to exchange that a little bit. And it says, he that abideth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure or abide to the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Therefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. What's he talking about? If you read the preceding verses, he's talking about being baptized, repenting of your sins, and being baptized, and accepting that reception of the Holy Ghost. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter, baptism, pure and simple. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. It comes, okay? It is going to come. And that Holy Ghost is going to reside within you. It's going to abide in you. It is a promise. And then, then you are in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he has made. That if ye have entered in by the way, ye should receive. Receive what? The Holy Ghost. It is a promise that if you enter in by the right way, you're going to receive that. These are the words in which he commands. This is the promise that he makes to you and I. I want to turn. Then I want to read on. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, ye have not come thus far, save it be by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Now, over the years that I have been in the church, specifically after I have had a witness to the Book of Mormon, I have pored over that last phrase. And that's relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. And I have thought, and I have thought, and I have pondered, and I have used this, and I think it's many things. But I think here, specifically, the merits that he's talking about is that Holy Ghost and how we are to rely upon that gift that we've been given throughout our lives. I believe that. I want to turn to John, 14th chapter. We've been talking about baptism. We've been talking about repentance. We've been talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to turn to the 14th chapter. All, you're very familiar. Read one verse. And it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He's talking to specifically here to his disciples who have already been baptized. Now, they haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, but they've been baptized. Am I correct? Thank you, David. Maybe I should ask an apostle. But I think I'm right. I think I'm right. They haven't received that Holy Ghost. Why? Because Christ is still with them. He hasn't ascended to his Father. But the commandments that I want to talk about is what I've just mentioned. And that's baptism. I want to turn back to page 161. Read 13 through 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, can ye follow Jesus, save you are willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, doctrine of Christ, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Okay. A commandment. Correct? Remission of sins, baptism, reception of the Holy Ghost. Then, do the things that you have seen me do. What's he mean by that, besides baptism? What's he mean by that? And how do we know what he wants us to do? How do you know exactly in your life what God wants, not the church, I'm talking about you, to do in following him? How do you know? Anybody? There you go. Thank you very much. It is that Holy Ghost, that promise, and you know exactly what he would have you to do in your life, without any doubt. I'm going to read on John, the 14th chapter. This is speaking to his disciples again, but he says, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, I have it underlined in my Bible twice. And it says, "He may abide with you forever." It doesn't say, "He will abide with you forever." My mind is drawn to, and I've used it last time I preached, to the parable of the talents and the one who received one. And I believe that you could say that was the Holy Ghost. And he hid it. He rejected it. And we know what the consequence was. But I'm speaking to a group of people this evening that I know has not done that. I know that you have repented, you've been baptized, you have received the Holy Ghost, and you've used it. Who in here has not felt the impress of the Holy Ghost in your life? Who in here has not followed it? Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Who in here has followed the Holy Ghost in your life? That Spirit. Who in here has? Everybody, I see. Everybody. I want to read on. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Do you have that feeling? That Holy Ghost, that part of Jesus Christ that he sent, is in you and dwelling in you and resides in you? That's Christ. That's Jesus. Do you feel the impress of Jesus within your heart? Shake your head yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to quote from Romans, the 8th chapter, the 31st verse. What's it say? If God be for us or in us, who can be against us? Isn't that what it says? Isn't that enough to cause you to rejoice and rejoice always? You know, we sang a song. I was going to remember the name of it. It was 182. And in the second verse, just before you get to the chorus, and it says, "I will look up and laugh and love and lift." Is that how you feel? Do you feel the joy that Christ would have you feel, knowing that he is within you? I want to know, what's that do for you? I mean, seriously. If you know it, do you know it? Shake your head yes. If you don't know for sure, don't shake your head, okay? Don't shake your head. But if you know that, and I believe, does it give you, I believe it gives you more than hope. It gives you a lot more than hope. And even more than confidence. It gives you joy, knowing that. I don't have much confidence in myself. I have very little confidence in myself, but I have all the confidence in the world in my Savior. And I know for a fact that he resides in my heart. Who out here has children or grandchildren? Whoa. Would you not like them? I would love for all of my grandkids and my children to feel that joy in the knowledge that they have Jesus Christ within them. And he's not going to leave them. He is not going to leave them. I want to turn to Enos. Very short book in the Book of Mormon. It's on page 194. I really love this. I really, really love this. Again, this is some 500 and something years before Christ. And behold, starting with the first verse, there's only one chapter in this particular book. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of a wrestle which I had before God before that I received a remission of my sins. This is before Christ. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into their hearts, and my soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried upon him with a mighty prayer and supplication for my own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, and it reached the heaven. And there came a voice unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven, and thou shalt be blessed. What do you think that did to him right there? What do you think happened? What? He was, now I'll read on. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie. Therefore, my guilt was swept away. And I saith, Lord, how is it done? How is it done? I feel free. And he saith, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Therefore, go to it. Thy faith has made thee whole. There's a little three words in there that I have underlined in my Book of Mormon. And it says, go to it. What's he talking about? What's he saying here? He has already been forgiven of his sins. He's innocent. And he's received something within himself. And with that, the Lord says, go to it. What's the next thing that came to the mind of Enos? What is the next thing? And now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren. He received that spirit of the Lord, did he not? And it changed his heart. When the Lord said, go to it, he knew exactly what Enos and his heart was going to be turned to. The Nephites, therefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And we know what happened. You know, we know what happened. The Lord blessed him in his prayer. He blessed him mightily in his prayer. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, second chapter. I'm going to read this chapter. And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians, second chapter. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's spirit, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Much like Enos, wasn't it? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he goes on, speaking about this Spirit, speaking about the Lord. And he's talking, I'm going to pick it up at verse 12. And this is to the Corinthians. Now, if you have made, you don't even have to make a study of the Corinthians. But just know that they were Greek, and they were, I don't know, not the best people in the world. And when Paul is speaking to them, they still have some of these bad things in their lives, but they've made a change. So 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now these are the people of Corinth. These are people that have repented of their sins. They have been baptized. They have received the Holy Ghost. And yet they still have things in their lives that we would call unsavory. But he goes on, he says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ that we may instruct him? This, and he's saying this last phrase to all these Corinthians. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ within you. Enos recognize this. Enos was going to receive that joy within his heart. These Corinthians, they received joy in their heart, knowing that they had that spirit within them. And just listen to what I have to say. And I believe that the Spirit told them, as it told Paul, that they were under the grace of God. I believe if you listen to that spirit that you have within yourself, it's going to tell you that you fall under the grace of God, by which you are saved. What could be better? What could give you more joy than that? What could give myself more joy than my children and my grandchildren and my nieces and my nephews and my in-laws, knowing that, with that confidence, not in themselves, but within Jesus Christ that resides, that Holy Ghost that you have within you is Christ. It is Christ within you. He is abiding in you. I'll ask another question. Has the Spirit of God confirmed that? I mean, really confirmed that to your mind and to your heart? I hope the answer is yes. If you're not sure, I'd like to know why. And Lord would like to know why. It's not us that does it, okay? I'm not worthy of this. I am not, and you are not worthy of that grace that he offers, that salvation that he offers. But when I allow Jesus to work in my life and that Spirit to work in my life, he makes me worthy, and he makes you worthy every time. He placed it so it would remain there and stay with there. Endure, if you want to use that. Abide, abiding spirit. That's what he wants. If we allow that to happen. Now, I'm not saying that we can't reject that, because I can. I can, and you can. I can choose to reject the leadings of that Spirit. I can choose to reject Jesus Christ when he tells me something. And guess what? I've done it. And I've done it more than once. I may have done it more often than I care to count. But I take comfort also, I need to stand behind this, don't I? I take comfort in the knowledge and the scriptures. In Luke, the 15th chapter, where he talks about the prodigal son, that as often as I come back and I recognize that I have disobeyed his Spirit, he welcomes me back. He welcomes me back. I know that after I've done that, and you need to know that after you've done that, you can return to him. And I don't want to make it sound difficult, and I don't want to make it sound easy. It's a choice. And Paul knew this. I want to turn to the 7th chapter of Romans and listen to what Paul had to say. And recognize his weakness. And recognize that Paul failed, okay? That Paul has failed many times and didn't follow the prompting of the Spirit. 18th verse. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. To do my will, it's present with all of us. It is present with all of us. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it. I cannot find that which is good within my self. For the good thing, now this is where it gets a little tricky, so if you've got your scriptures, follow along. First time I read this, years ago, I said, whoa, what is he talking about? For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He's talking about the self man here. I want to do good. I want to do good. But of myself, I can do no good, and neither can you. You can't. I want to, but I can't on my own. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And I don't see straight, okay? And you can't see straight. You may think that you are doing great within yourself. And you may be falling flat on your face before God. But, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. There we go. That's the only race that we are running, and that's the only thing. It's the only thing that can bring us down, and that's within us as a man, where our will outweighs the will of Jesus Christ that resides within us. It's the only thing. We can be perplexed with the things that are happening in the world, but salvation is determined within us. And what we choose, not what we choose. And he says, oh wretched, man, I've heard this before. I think I've heard Nephi say this, haven't I? Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall help me in my infirmities, the weakness of my flesh? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, with the mind, I serve the law of God. Christ mind. We have his mind within us. We have Jesus Christ. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the choices that we have to make in our lives. Paul knew, he recognized what problems that he had in his life, didn't he? He recognized that he of himself was a wretched man. He was a wretched man. But he also knew the love of Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus Christ resided within him in the form of that Spirit, that Holy Ghost. I want to turn back to Corinthians. First Corinthians 1. Paul's dealing with the Corinthians again. They're arguing. They're quarreling. They're causing all kinds of commotion among themselves. You know the argument. Who's greater? Is it Paul or Cephas or Apollos or so forth? And so they're not, well, I don't, like I say, I don't want to judge them, but I see them. And Paul wanted us to see them. So I'm going to start 1 Corinthians, first chapter. I'm going to start with the 17th verse, and this is after Paul had addressed these problems that the Corinthians had. And he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect." But listen, this is a man who knew that he was a wretched man, that knew that he was warring within himself between his flesh and the Spirit of God that the Lord had placed there. That he was going to have a determination, that it abides with him, that it endures within him. "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us," what's he say? What does he address? He says, "But to us," he's talking to the Corinthians. He's talking about himself, knowing what kind of wretched man he is. "But to us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's what I want us to recognize and have joy in. That's what I want my kids and my grandkids to recognize and have joy in. That enduring, that abiding, is allowing that Spirit that he gave us freely, that he has given you freely, and resides in you now. That you can say, as long as you do not reject it, that you fall under the grace of God. Here and now. He gave us that mind. He gave us that Spirit. He promised that he was going to abide in the Father in him, and he was going to and will and does abide in you right now. He's not somewhere else looking down on his people. He is in you and ready to be with you and guide you your life, your whole life, that you might have confidence, that you might not worry. You're going to know, okay? You are going to know without a doubt if you're falling short, if you have rejected that Spirit that he's given you, just exactly like that one servant did. He knew that he rejected that talent or that Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and what did he do? He buried it. He got it out of his heart and out of his mind. Did he not? I hope I've given you something to think about. I hope it gives you confidence in that knowledge that you have performed and you've done and you followed the doctrine of Christ, and he's given you all you need. Now that Holy Spirit is going to give you command, and he's going to give you command just like it gave Enos command. And your thoughts are not going to be on yourself anymore. Your thoughts are going to be on others, just as Enos's was. If you listen to the lessons that Christ gave his disciples before he left, the last parable, the last lesson, he told them how to have joy within their lives, didn't he, Don? And it's following that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will send us to be a servant to others. And we will have joy here, and we will have joy eternally. I thank you.